Our text for today is found in Exodus chapter 33, verses 13 through 16. Exodus chapter 33, verses 13 through 16. And this is an excerpt here from Moses' interaction with God as he's interceding in prayer. So if you're physically able, would you just stand? Let's honor God as I read these verses in your hearing. And then by faith, we're going to ask God to help us to understand not only what he says here, but how it would apply to our lives and help us today. Verse 13. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. Verse 14. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Finally, verse 16. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Amen. Lord, meet us now in the Spirit. Teach us, Holy Spirit, teach us today what you have to say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. I was wrong. I said last week we might not visit this subject again, but I told Perry I had another thing going on most of the week, and I thought that was what God wanted me to preach, and about Thursday or Friday, God said no. So here we are. So I hope you can say amen to God. I did. It caused me to lose some sleep, but that's all right. I'd rather lose sleep for the Lord than for any other reason. Amen. So we want to talk about living 2020 without regrets once more. Now, I want you to think about it. Many of you will be familiar with the story of Moses, with his history. You might remember that God chose Moses while he was in the wilderness, right, to represent him in the world, to represent him in Egypt in particular, and as God was going to move them out of Egypt. He chose Israel. Likewise, he delivered Israel from Egypt to represent him in the world. Yes? And you might remember that even though God delivered Israel, they were set free. God had given them everything they need to live holy, just like he does for us. They became an unfaithful and an ungrateful representative of God. Now, Moses is put then in the position of an intercessor. God has already made it clear. He has been interacting with Moses. He doesn't need Israel. God can make him a nation out of anybody. Because you do know that God didn't just go and found a group of people. God made a nation to begin with. He saved one man, Abraham, and he made him a nation. And so all of us need to remember that at those times when we get too self-inflated with our own value, right? Thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, to realize that if God had not passed you by, if he had passed you by, where would you have been? What would you be? Yes? And so Moses then becomes an intercessor. And I thank God for that. Somebody, I don't know who all prayed for me when I was a heathen, but I'm thankful that someone did. Someone interceded for me when I wasn't praying for myself. Someone interceded for me when I was a fool, because I was a real fool. Right? And so we're thankful that people pray for us. Even after you're saved, we need, right, people praying for us. So Moses becomes this intercessor, and he's intercessing both for Israel and himself. And we see that in the early part of Exodus 33, when Moses first heard what God was planning to do with Israel. And so he begins to plead for them, to intercede for them. And then in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight." And you see this man of God now in this place to say, "Lord, I'm willing to do your will, but you know I need help. Lord, I'm willing to do your will, but I feel my own incompetence, right? I feel my own frailty and my own tendency to fail." And so he becomes this intercessor. And you'll see here that Moses desired God's favor and God's presence, both in his life and in his ministry. And I'm saying to you that I believe there are lessons here that we can learn to help us have a meaningful life for Christ in 2020. Lessons that we can learn from this man and this nation that existed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. These people that lived in a totally different time, under totally different circumstances that you and I live, yet God says there's nothing what? New under the sun. We can learn lessons from them. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have television. They didn't have automobiles, right? They didn't have the clothing that we have. And yet we can learn lessons from them, because God has a way of proving to any generation that he can show us victory in our situation if we will only listen to him, right? So let's just take a little time today, and I want to show you these two things. I want to show you why there is value in desiring God's presence. Then I also want to show you why there's value in enjoying God's presence. You won't enjoy it if you don't desire it. But if you desire it, you need to be prepared to enjoy it. And I want to prove to you that desiring it isn't, you've got to be prepared for God's presence. Sometimes I think Christians find themselves praying for something, and we really don't, we want the appearance of a thing. It's like folks that say, "I love you." People love the idea of loving you. But when they get to know you, you see the difference? There's a difference between loving the idea of loving you versus loving you. Right? And so you can be enamored with being in the presence of God and not ready to really be in God's presence. Yes? Okay. So let's just think that one through for a little while today, and we'll be done. So let's start out with the whole idea of desiring God's presence. I see that in verse 13, 14, and 15. And what I want to begin with is understanding the need. If you don't understand the need for God's presence, it won't be a part of your value system. And so I want to start out with saying this. When I say desiring God's presence, don't think that you got to begin by knowing God is everywhere. So when I say desire God's presence, it's not like he's not here. Right? God, there's a theological term called omnipresent. That means that God is what? Everywhere, all the time. Right? The psalmist, as he was painting this picture of God's omniscience and omnipresence, I remember, I think it's verse 7 of Psalm 139. He says, where can I go? Remember that? From your spirit. Or where can I flee? What? From your presence. If I ascend to heaven, what? You are there. If I descend down to Sheol, if I make my bed in Sheol, what? You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. You see? And so those who knew God even in the Old Testament knew he's everywhere. And so to desire God's presence doesn't mean that I think he's not here. It's like people that pray and actually think God doesn't know. You see? And so when you have these realities, it helps you think and act differently. So I want to start there. When I talk about desiring God's presence, it doesn't mean that you that God is somewhere off. He's way off somewhere. You understand? So let's start right there, that God is omnipresent. Now, you will remember, those who've studied your Bible, that God reveals himself in various ways in the Bible, right? He reveals his presence sometimes in dreams. You remember that? As you study the Old Testament? He'll speak to this one in a dream and that one in a dream and a vision, right? To Moses, he revealed himself what? In a burning bush, right? You remember they built the temple. Remember that in the Old Testament, the tabernacle? And there was this inner room in the tabernacle, right? Called the what? Holy of Holies. And there you went to get in what? God's presence. But you remember that you didn't mess around going in that room. You need to be what? Ready to go into God's presence. Yes? That's what I'm saying. And then God had his people to build the Ark of the Covenant. You remember that? And it was at the Ark of the Covenant that you what? Meet with God. And so you follow this pattern through the Old Testament, and it leads you all the way to the New Testament, and where Jesus can say, he who has seen me, what? Has seen the Father. You don't need to look any further for the presence of God. He who has seen me, and the Father are what? One. Hebrews says he's the radiance of the glory, the perfect imprint. Yeah. So, as a whole folks, a lot of folks talk about Jesus, but are you ready for him? You see? I know you weren't thinking about this. That's all right. I want us to think better in 2020, all right? You see, here's the thing about God's presence. God's presence can terrify or edify. Yeah? God's presence has terrified lots of people in the past. But for those of us who long for his presence, you remember how the psalmist says it in Psalm 16? In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. At his right hand, what? Pleasures forevermore. Yes? And so we ought to be those who are edified in God's presence. Edified in God's presence. So a believer must see the value, and look, I struggle with wording this, but let me say it and I'll talk to you about it in a minute. A believer must see the value in what I call the pleasing presence of God. You see, God doesn't intend to terrify us. The fear of the Lord for us is not a terrifying fear. It's a fear that's reverent, and knowing that God is an awesome, he's an awesome, God is not to be played with. It's like a person who, like my dad. My dad was a kind of jovial guy. He laughed a lot. But my dad had a razor strap. Now, my mom used switches. But my dad used a razor strap. And I've been, I think I told y'all the story. I was pretty irreverent at one time, and so it was time for me to get a whooping. And I wasn't going to get a whooping. So I started running. My dad chased me down. Yes, sir. You think that was a good whooping? Or you think that was an easy whooping? My point is, though he was a jovial guy and I liked to be around him, I learned to fear him. If you understand what I mean. Respect him. Respect his authority. Respect what he said. Okay? And so, when I say the pleasing presence of God, it's I want to be there not to be terrorized. I want to be there to enjoy it. I want to be there in God's favor when I'm in his presence. Yes? And so, you got verse 13? Go back to Exodus 33:13. You notice what Moses says here. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. So here's the point I want you to see. That if you're going to be in the pleasing presence of God, you need to know what pleases God. You get this? So the pleasing presence of God doesn't mean that I emotionally feel good. He said, show me what? Your ways. In other words, when you're in God's presence, it needs to be objective. I need to know I'm pleasing God. How do I know that? He's told me what to do. And what am I doing? I'm doing what he told me to do. So see, when I was in my dad's presence and I was obeying him, I didn't have to run. You understand? I could enjoy him. Why did I run? Because I know I wasn't doing right. But what he proved to me, you may run, but you can't get away. Now there are lots of dads that won't chase you down. They just wait till you come back. But my dad stopped the running that day. You understand? And so we have to go through a few of those spankings before we enjoy God's presence. Yes? That's right. Those whom the Lord loves, right? He chastens. He disciplines us. Why? So that we'll learn to obey. Yes? I mean, that's anybody that's dealt with younger people understands that. And so Moses says, show me your ways. See, I want to objectively know I'm pleasing you. That's what I'm talking to you about. Getting in God's presence is not some mystical, it's objective. If you're going to enjoy, if you're going to find yourself in his pleasing presence, you need to know something about him. Yes? Not what I've been told about him. First of all, you got to make sure you know him. And then you need to know something about him. You understand? So that's what Moses says. Show me your ways in order that I may find favor. You see, if I know your ways, I want to do what you say. So I can find what? Favor in your sight. We're together? And so understanding the need. And then I want you to see that desiring God's presence also means that you must express the need. Express it. What do I mean by that? The desire and the need for God's presence must be expressed in prayer. You got verse 13? Look at it again. Now, therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. Now, look at verse 15. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from this place. So you see, Moses is expressing here is his desperate need for God's fellowship, his desperate need for God's presence. The psalmist said it away in Psalm 42, I believe it is. He said, as the deer, you remember that? Pants for the running, the flowing streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God, right? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and what? And appear before God. You hear that? Just like a thirsty deer is looking for water, my soul wants to be in God's presence. Right? David, I believe it was Psalm 63 maybe, David said, "Oh God, my God, I earnestly do I seek ye." Right? My soul thirsts for thee. My heart, my life faints for thee. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You get that picture? Amen. We need to see that you start. It's like you are like a starving man or woman without God's presence and His favor, and see, being in this place of God's blessing. No Christian should want to be a rebel. No Christian should want to know that you're displeasing God. Anybody here with children know that how it breaks your heart when your children not only disobey you, they know they're disobeying you, and they don't care. And we make so light of it when we do what we know is wrong, when we do what God has said not to do, or when we don't do what God has said to do. Yes? We pray, "Show me your ways," but when He shows us, do we do it? And see, we want God's pleasing pleasure when we know we won't obey Him. Yes? But I want to show you that if you really understand the blessing of God's favor and His presence and His power on your life, you don't want anything else. That's all that you want. Because you know, Moses knew what he was like before God came to got him out of the wilderness. He knew how fearful he was. You know it. God said, "Moses, I want you to go and stand before Pharaoh." He said, No. You picked the wrong guy. I don't speak well. I don't do good at public speaking. God, do you think that's an oversight? Right? God had to remind Moses, "Who do you think made your mouth?" Right? And so we need to think about these things. When you find yourself in this place of God's presence, His pleasing presence, you simply say amen to God. That's all I'm saying. You need to be ready for that. This ain't some place, this ain't just somewhere you're going to hang out. God's presence is a place for obedient children that know His ways and that says, "Show me your ways, Lord, I'll do them." But you remember how Jesus said it in John, it's those who will do the will of God that will know it. So God isn't revealing things to us just for us to be smart Christians. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. We're together? Amen. For 2020. Yes. For 2020. Desiring God's presence means a whole lot more than maybe we've been thinking about. It must be expressed in prayer. And essentially in prayer, what we're expressing is our desperate need. See, hunger and thirst show that I need God to survive. Yes? Hunger, I'm hungry. Those who hunger for righteousness, what? Shall be filled. It's the hunger that only God can feel. That's what He wants us to see. No one else can feel this hunger. No one else can feel this thirst. And even the Christian tries other things. We try entertainment. We try money. We try pleasure. We try other things. Only God can satisfy, right? The real hunger and the thirst, that desperation that's in us. And you see, in this particular case, God desires this too. So it's not just that the Christian desires God's presence. God desires His presence what? for us. You see verse 14? After Moses' prayer, verse 14, the Lord speaking, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Isn't that good? To know that God will hear and answer your prayer when you're sincere. See, what happens here? Prayer relieves stress. Moses is in a stressful position right now. He's caught in this position where God is telling him, that the people that he has led out, the people he's done so much for, he delivered them from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He feeds them. He takes care of them. And look at them. They're responding to me like I've never done a thing for them. They're ungrateful. They're unfaithful. And Moses is there pleading, saying, but Lord, you see, I'm in an awkward position here. You see the stress? Only those of you who've been in leadership position understand the stress that comes when people ain't working with you, when people are working against you, when people are doing, they know better, but they keep it. A parent understands it. So anybody that's raised children, when you're looking at someone, you know they know better, and they keep doing wrong anyway. So think of how God feels when he looks at us. You know better. You know better. You keep doing it anyway. So there Moses is with the stress of that, the pressure of that, right? The anxiety of that. So prayer relieves that. I'm telling you, we need to learn that. We looked at that this morning in our prayer time, right? Prayer is the remedy to worry and stress and anxiety. And so as you see Moses here, prayer is helping him get through this. For those of who find yourself in fears and doubts, prayer is designed to help you faith. If God tells you to do something, he wants you to be able to do it without fear. But the only way to get there is through prayer. You see? Through prayer. And we must be honest with God. I need some help here. You know, there's an old song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our, what, sins and griefs to bear? What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often, what? Forfeit, what? Our pains we bear, all because what? We do not carry everything to God in. Yes? And so, this is for us to realize the value of prayer. All because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. And you see, I got so much stuff running through my head, I didn't remember all those lines, but you did. But think about it. You know the lines to the song. But what about the truth of it? Yes? All because we do not carry everything. Isn't that amazing? Songs that old are just dripping with truth. If we would only believe what we sing. Yes? All right. So that's desiring God's presence. And then lastly, I see here that not only do you need to desire it, you need to be prepared to enjoy God's presence. Now, I want you to see something really interesting here. You got verse 16? Turn to verse 16. This just lit it up. I kind of wondered what God was getting at when he led me to this. To me, this one verse just broke it open for me. You got verse 16? Look at it. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Now look at the second sentence. Is it not in your going with us so that we are what? Distinct. You get it? So that we are distinct. I and your people, look at the rest of it, what? From every other people on the what? Face of the earth. That's it. God's presence is designed to make us distinct. So it's a whole lot more than some of us are imagining. It's not to make me arrogant, but it's to help me to develop into who I... If you've been born again, you're already a what? New creation. So his presence wants me to be who I am. Yes? This is so good. I'm telling you. So he wants us to be distinct. I mentioned two areas here, and then we'll try to bring it all together. First of all, God wants us to be distinct in our lifestyle. I made this statement before, but I want you to get it now. In order to enjoy God's presence, you must know what pleases him. Okay? You remember verse 14? And he said to him, my presence will go with you. You see that? And I will give you what? Rest. See? So, if I'm going to enjoy God's presence, I need to know that I'm at rest in his presence. His presence is designed to give me rest, not anxiety. His presence is designed not to keep me under a weight of guilt. Now, I may come there guilty, but confession, see, that's what prayer is for. You don't come into God's presence pretending that you got it all together. Yeah? And so, he wants me to have rest. Rest with being real. Being real with him, being honest with him, so that I can be honest with other people. You see, if my lifestyle is going to be distinct, I've got to, first of all, have been real with God. You remember how many times the Bible would say that after people had been with God, it was obvious to other folks that they had what? Been with Moses himself, you remember? Times that Moses would go in a tent into God's presence to meet with God. You remember what God used to do? His face would glow. Now, that was just in the Old Testament. But the Bible says, but that would fade. But God has done something even more wonderful for you and I. The Holy Spirit doesn't fade. That fire faded on Moses' face, but the fire of the Holy Spirit has come to make us what? His home. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, the temple of God is there. God's presence needs to be there. I'm not there yet, but that's where we're going. That's what I want you to see. God's presence needs to go with you everywhere. Because the Holy Spirit is with you, what? Everywhere. You see how much more of an advantage that we had? Moses, God purposefully let the presence fade from Moses. So that by the time it gets to the New Testament, he would say to you and I, the Holy Spirit would never fade in your life. Now, here's the deal. The problem, though, is that you can quench him and you can grieve him. See? He's still there. Right? He hasn't gone anywhere. But the Holy Spirit will allow you to quench him and grieve him because he wants you to long to be in his presence, to long to know that you're in his presence. Yes? And so, God then wants us to be distinct in our lifestyle. You remember, those of you who know your Bible, back in Exodus 20, God had already given them the Ten Commandments, right? How to respond to God. Have no other God before you. Do not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, right? Keep it holy. Honor your parents, all that. Don't lie, don't murder. You see? So God had already told the people of God how to have a right relationship with him, how to have a right relationship with each other. So that your what? Your lifestyle will be distinct. You're not to be like other people. You can't worship any and everybody. Yes? He'd already told them that in the Ten Commandments. And the same for you and I, those who think the Ten Commandments don't apply to us. Yes, they do. It's the same thing. They give a structure for us to know how to have that right relationship with God and with each other, right? Now, thankfully, the Bible says love covers all that. But you see, underneath all that, the fabric is still there. God had already given them the Ten Commandments. God would give them more details throughout the Pentateuch. You know what the Pentateuch is? The first, five books of the Bible? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He would give them more details because he would refer to them as what? My people. Do you know that God referred to Israel as my son? Yeah. So Israel was God's son before Jesus came along. You understand? Israel was God's son with a little s. Jesus is the Son of God. So the people of God were referred to as my people, my son, my children. Why? Because God says, in your lifestyle, you're what? You're to be a representative for me. When? Wherever you go. In your lifestyle, you're to be what? Distinct. People are to know that my presence is what? With you. Now, hopefully you already see this is way more than something that happens on a Sunday. That's my concern. Most people get concerned about God's presence on a Sunday for about 3 or 4 hours and a Wednesday. You understand what I'm saying? It's like perfection. We've just lowered the standards so much that it really doesn't become significant. God's presence is to make a difference in our lives. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Amen. We together? Distinction in our life and a distinction in our ministry. The first thing I want to say to you about ministry is that God's presence brings humility. You go back to verse 13. You got verse 13? Consider too that this nation is your people. Look at that humility of Moses. Look at the humility. The way they treated Moses. You see, when God's presence is with you, you can endure a lot more than you think. In your family, on your job, right? In your neighborhood, in your church. When God's presence is with you, you can endure a whole lot more than you think. Look at how they treated Moses and every other man or woman of God. They were able, what? To hold up because the presence of God was with them. They could humble themselves and help the very ones that were hurting them. You follow it all the way to the cross. See the mighty presence of God on Jesus. There they are, have bruised and wounded him, have abused him more than any human being ever has or will be. And there he is saying, Father, what? Forgive them. Showing us that by grace you can handle a whole lot more than you think you can when God's presence is with you. He'll humble you to endure way more than you think you can. So God's presence brings humility in ministry. I would say this to you. If you're really not ready for ministry if you're not going to admit to this. Don't come into ministry into the kingdom if you're not ready to be reviled and slandered, all manner of evil done about you. You understand? That's life in the kingdom. And God still says to every one of us, my grace is what? It's sufficient.
Thank you, Lord.
Sufficient. But I'm trying to convince you that this is the reason we desperately need God's presence for ministry, for life in general, and for ministry in particular. Listen at Paul, Romans 10. After being dogged out by Israel, kicked out of so many places, he says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." You see that? If you want that kind of heart, God's presence will do it for you.
Amen.
You can't love people the way God wants you to love them if you can't get to the level of thinking about yourself. If you're only going to remember what folks did to you or said about you, then you won't be able to love people the way the Bible calls for.
Amen.
I'm saying to you, we need to rethink God's presence and the value of it. God's presence is essential for ministry. And those of us who think you don't have time, you see the problem? You don't have time for God's presence. You don't have time to get in it. You don't give him any time. You just want him to show up and help you do what you want to do. You see? He's always, we already talked about that, right? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's where you are. But we're not talking about that. God's presence brings power with it. And I keep getting ahead of myself. But that's the whole idea, is that he equips us for ministry. And you'll notice, you might remember that God gave, when it comes to ministry, God gave further details about ministry toward himself. Right? He told the people of God, this is how you serve me. This is how you minister toward me. He told them how to build the tabernacle. He told them what was to be there. He told them the kinds of things that they should do. And he comes to you and I, he tells you what's acceptable, right, to worship toward him. But he also told them how to minister to people. And that's what I want you to see, is that he shows us his way so we can know how to please him. So that when you're in his presence, you can know God is with me and I'm pleasing him. The bottom may look like it's dropping out of my life, but I'm pleasing God.
Amen.
He's with me. That's what we want to know. That's what I'm saying to you.
Amen.
This is so much more than Sunday activity. So much more than goosebumps. Did you feel that?
You know, sometimes your feeling has nothing to do with it.
You just know that I couldn't have handled this without God. I didn't feel it at the time. Right? Moses telling God, I can't do that. God says, yes, you can. Why? Because I'm with you. You see? And sometimes he doesn't even tell you what to say until you get there. Until you, ooh, this is the value of God's presence. You can't think that you're like an athlete or somebody. You do all this practice and you're ready. No, sometimes God takes you at your weakest, your lowest point. You don't feel like you can do anything. When I'm weak, what? Then I'm strong. I'm telling you, this is how we're going to make it in 2020. God wants people that walk in God's presence. Not just when you're around other Christians. Yeah? People need to know when you walk in the room that you've been with God. You believe God can do it today? He's the same God. So, what am I saying? In 2020, We must have a clear conscience to enjoy God's presence. In 2020, we must know what pleases God in order to have a clear conscience. You understand what I'm saying? You need to have a clear conscience to enjoy God's presence, but you're not going to have a clear conscience if you don't know what pleases God. Get it? We need to know what pleases God so we can have a clear conscience in His presence. Therefore, we must know what pleases God with a clear conscience so that we can enjoy the pleasing presence of God. My question to you, do you long for the presence of God to be with you and revealed in you every day? Every day. See, not just on a few days during the week. The daily presence of the Lord Jesus Christ will distinguish the way you think. People will know something different. They can talk to you. They try to reason with you. They try to twist things with you. But your mind is focused and clear because the presence of God is with me. It'll affect the way you think. Amen? You believe that? The presence of God will affect the way you think about your family. I'm telling you, God says that He places certain people in families so that that family can be blessed. But you got to learn to have the right thinking. The presence of God needs to be with you so you can handle all of the mess. Families are messy. And I'm not being critical. It's just life. Churches are messy. People are what? Messy. So if you're going to minister to people, you have to be prepared to handle the mess. Yeah. It's only the presence of God that will enable you to do that. Because you need to know you're messy too. So God is taking a messy person and helping you deal with messy people. Yes? The presence of God daily will change your thinking about money. When God's presence is on you, you will think differently about your money and what God has given it to you for, you see? They'll change your thinking about morality. How the standard of morality has been lowered, brought so low today. For the Christian, we're narrow-minded and we're backwards, but hold the standard high because the presence of God is with you. And it makes a difference. People need to know that you've been in God's presence when you talk about morality. They're all twisted up in how the world has described something, but you see clearly. God has brought light to the situation. You see? His presence brings light. He'll change your thinking about your clothing, about your career, about your housing. God will change your thinking about education. God will change your conversation, your actions, and your reactions. When He's with you present, when His presence is there daily, the daily presence of the Lord will make a distinction in your worship. Yes, it will. You see, when you come here knowing that you're in God's presence, you're not waiting for a certain point in the worship service. Has to be the right song. Or the right this, or the right that. If you came in God's presence, stay there. Help others get there. When you're filled up with the Spirit of God, it's spillover. My cup what? Overflows. Amen. But you got to want it. You got to desperately want God's presence. You shouldn't come here to get it. You think God's presence is confined to this place? He's what? He's everywhere. That's the reason we can live life and have good days. Whatever kind of thing I'm going through, God's with me. God is with me. That's what we want to know, isn't it? He's with me.
Are you getting this? Telling you, this is way, 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 way more than Sunday and Wednesday kind of stuff. This is how we can live 2020 with great success for the Lord. Make a distinction in your worship, a distinction in your singing, a distinction in your praying. You see, I'm not singing to please you. I'm not praying to please you. I'm not giving to please you. I'm not giving for a show. I'm here to worship the Lord. I'm in His presence. I've been in His presence. And I'm just here in His presence with you. I hope you're there.
Amen.
Yes? Just to be free in God's presence. That's what He wants for us. The presence. You must not simply long for the presence of the Lord, as I said, on Sundays or Wednesdays or some other time that the church gathers. You must long for God's presence every day. The Holy Spirit is here with us every day to reveal the will of God. He's with us every day to reveal the way of God, the wisdom of Christ, the truth of Christ, the life of Christ, the liberty of Christ, the grace and mercy of Christ, the power of Christ. He's with us every day. So why should you only want the presence on one day or 2 days? We must find fullness of joy in God's presence and true pleasure, knowing that His presence will make a distinction in our personal lives and in our ministry. God revealed presence, brought power to people in the past, brought confidence to people in the past. It brought hope to people in the past. Joy to people in the past. God's presence brought peace and patience to people in the past. But Abraham, God said, Abraham, I am with you. And look at Abraham. He went through so many awful things. He fell, but God was with him, and he went on through it. With Isaac, He said, I'm with you. Look at him, how he made it through. Jacob, He said, I'm with you. Joshua, I'm with you. Follow it through the Bible, all the way to Paul. There he is, locked up in prison.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Been treated awful.
Yes.
Nobody cares about him.
The
Lord comes to him and said, Paul,
yes.
I'm with you. You kidding us?
Yeah.
How did Paul make it? God was with him.
Amen.
That's the reason, you know, His presence has to be more than this little isolated this thing or that thing.
Yeah.
Every day. Want God's presence what? Every day.
Yes.
I want God with me every day.
Hallelujah.
Every day. Wherever I go. Wherever I go. Remember that, Otis? God's with you, man.
Yes.
Wherever you got to go,
amen.
He's the one that is taking care of you.
Yes.
I can go around this room.
Yes.
The only reason we're here is that God had a plan.
Yes.
He was with us.
Yes.
When they tried their best to destroy us.
Yes.
Just like Joseph. You saw it. You know people meant evil. The only reason we made it through is what? God intended it for good. He's causing all things. Now, if you're going to believe He's causing all things, why wouldn't you want His presence all the time? Yes? We're just trying to reason together here. All the time. All the time. We must long for, seek after, and enjoy the Lord's pleasing presence every day until the Lord God brings us to the new heaven and the new earth, where we will dwell in His presence forever. I want to read something to you as I close. You see, God's presence, we want to enjoy it here. Because ultimately, that's all it's going to be. We're going to be in His presence for, you get this, forever. So we need to learn to enjoy it, what? Here. Do you only want to enjoy it on Sundays and Wednesdays? God wants us to enjoy His presence every day. Yes? Then I saw
a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." Isn't that good? Stay faithful to the end. Long for God's presence until the end. Live in his presence every day until the end. And if you're not a Christian, this would be a great day for you to find the pleasing presence of God. But you must come to Christ. It's in Christ that you know God's pleasure. It's in Christ that you can know this joy. It's in Christ that you find yourself in the place of safety. Come to Christ today. Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we had together. And thank you for being so patient with us as you brought us along in our lives. Thank you for creating that hunger and thirst for righteousness in us. Thank you for creating the desire, the longing for your presence in us. And now, Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself to us in a way that will enable us to be good and faithful representatives for you until you come. Help us now, individually and as a church, to be those who are distinct as representatives for Christ in our life and ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. And